Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Chris Bruce in Spokane, Washington, and you're on the Morning Rev Call. We have this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with a different host. Mondays is Dave Johnson sharing decades of experience in the multi-level or direct selling industry, just sharing the tips, the tricks, the experiences that will help you to gain the skills to build your own business. On Wednesdays, we have Chip Littlejohn, who does product deep dives and testimonials with special guests, really picks apart why the products do what they do and how they can help you. Also, a man with decades of experience in this industry. And then on Fridays, you have me with often special guests or tips and tricks on the technical side of the business or special guests and motivation. Today, my guest wasn't able to be here, and hopefully will join us in September. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit kind of on the motivational side and the feel-good side, I guess. There's a lot of bad stuff going on, and if you accidentally turn on the news and watch it, or you pick up the newspaper and read it, it's probably going to bring you down. There's a lot of reasons to be upset, angry, sad, or scared out there, but I thought I'd share just a couple of stories that might help us feel better. And I apologize on the volume here. I have things as loud as they will go, but the first one is a story that I just heard recently, and someone shared on Facebook. And I'm going to just play that one for you.
People think we're more divided as a country now than we've been in a long time. I know it can seem that way, but when I was a little kid in 1969, the Vietnam War was tearing the country apart. And they'd shot John F. Kennedy, and they'd shot Bobby Kennedy. They'd shot Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And there was the Manson family and the Zodiac Killer, and it just felt like the whole country had lost its mind. My father had grown up in the Depression, while his faith in humanity was just at a low ebb. And the two of us that June were driving from L.A. to Oakland in an old 1960 Oldsmobile, and the water pump blew out south of Bakersfield. And so this was long before cell phones, so we were going to have to hoof it like 9 or 10 miles into town when this young cowboy pulls up in a flatbed and offers to tow us in. And all my dad had on him for money was this old Chevron gas card, so he kept telling this young fellow, you know, I can't pay you. And the young cowboy's looking at him like, yeah, I wasn't going to charge you. So he rolls us into town, and this is a Sunday, so nothing's open. So he has to go get his mechanic friend to open up his garage, and my dad says, hey, listen, I don't have any money. And the mechanic says, you know, we'll work something out. And then they all realize they don't have the actual part, so now they got to go roust out the local auto parts store owner, and they bring him down. And my father's like, okay, we need to talk about how this is all going to get settled, because he just couldn't imagine anybody being this trusting about the money. So the cowboy says, look at that, it'll make you feel better. I got a bunch of watermelons I need to get loaded onto my flatbed, and it's pretty hot work, and if you help me out, I'll pay for the part. So next thing you know, we're all unloading watermelons from inside a rail car. That's about 140 degrees. And 90 minutes later, we are soaked in sweat, and up rolls the car, just running like a top. And my dad says, I really don't know how to thank you, fellas, and for this good turn. And we're turning to go, and a mechanic gets this look on his face and says, whoa, where do you think you're going? And you could see on my father's face just all the fear and distrust come to the surface. He's stiffened like a leopard. And the mechanic says, no. My wife's going to make us all Sunday dinner, and you and the boy can get a shower and a clean shirt, and it'll make the drive easier, all of us. So we sat down for a dinner of fried chicken from the chicken right over there, and corn on the cob from the corn right over there. Man, I got to tell you, we'll never have a meal that good ever again. And my dad didn't say maybe three words the whole drive, but when we got home, I got into bed. I was just about to turn off the light, and he stops in the doorway, and he says to me, no matter what you see in the movies or on TV or you read in the papers, you listen to me. And that's how people really are. And about a month later, Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. So, keep the faith.
All right. So, I really, really like the sentiment of that. It's just amazing. How just little simple acts are formative things. So that guy, that was a formative thing for him that changed how he looks at people for the rest of his life. And I think for a lot of people, they're scared. They're like that dad. They've had their faith kind of shaken or broken down, and they need probably one, two, or three people to go out of their way to do something kind, to do something unexpected, to remind them that there are possibilities out there. I was just recently introduced to a guy. There's a house in my neighborhood. It used to be a family that we knew lived there, and you know, more than a decade ago, they moved away, but they kept the house as a rental, and right before the whole COVID shutdown happened, they had a renter in there that did a bunch of damage to the house and left, and they were so concerned about COVID, they didn't even come to look at it. They essentially abandoned the house. And so just down the street from me, there's this house that used to be pretty nice, and it just kind of fell apart. And just about a month ago, so a year and a half, this house has just been left. The neighbors have gone over. We've all kind of taken turns mowing the lawn and taking branches that fell off and landed on the roof, but we never saw the owner because they still don't leave their house. They're locked in. But this big tattooed guy showed up with keys to the house and started cleaning it up, and went over to meet him, and he says he worked for the family that owned the house, and he was going through a hard time, and they said that he could live in the house if he'd fix it up. And so this house, there's no water, there's no power, it's just a wreck, and he's slowly picking it up. But he's this big, intimidating guy with, tattoos up and down his arms and on his neck, and just a really nice guy, but someone that most people in the neighborhood kind of shied away from. But as I've gone and I've talked to him, just about every day, find out more and more about, what's happened in his life, and he's just really going through a hard time. He's lost his entire family. He has every reason to be angry and upset, and he says he's the type of guy that he puts on a brave face, but at night he's sitting at home crying. I've been able to make really good friends with him just in this short amount of time. And just there, I've been in a position to be able to help him little bit. And now he's been able to reunite with his 3-year-old son, and his little boy and my little boy have become friends. And it's really been a rewarding thing to see this guy who was distrusting and broken down and kind of scary just turn into this a cheerful guy. And all it took was just a few simple little acts of helping him fix something, or providing some food when they just didn't have any. It's something that it makes you feel really good to be able to do something like that. So as we're going out and we're looking at people, and some of them maybe grumpy and angry about politics or the economy or how the job market has changed, if they've been in this industry before, what happened to them in their company, how their upline did a bad thing or the owner did a bad thing, we could be the ones that that change their opinion forever based on how we treat them and the lengths we go to share with them what we have. And the other story I wanted to tell is a commercial. It's a Christmas commercial that came out 2 or 3 years ago in Europe, and I think it's in Austrian or Dutch. Can't understand any of the language in it at all. But it starts with this guy. He's just like the caricature from an old movie of the grumpy old man. He's got the squinty eye, and he's glaring at the neighbors, and he's rummaging around in this old shed behind his house, you know, throwing boxes and dumping things over and dust flying everywhere. And he pulls out this kettlebell, and it's not a big heavy thing, but you know, maybe 15 pounds. And he's just this wiry old dude, and he squats down and he tries to pick the thing up, and he can get it just above his knees, and then you see his back hurts and his knees hurts, and he drops the thing and he scowls at it and leaves, and then you see us the next morning. He comes back and he's trying to lift the thing again, and just can't do it, and he goes back in the house and he comes out with a framed picture, and you don't get to see what's on the picture, but you're looking from the back of the picture as he's staring intently at this, at whatever's in the frame, and he's struggling to lift this weight. And then one of the neighbors, and she's kind of the caricature of the nosy neighbor that's always looking over the fence, and you see her peeking in the window of his shed as he's trying to lift this weight, and you know, she's got the phone out immediately, and in the next scene a young woman comes up, and the neighbor's pointing across the street into the window, and she goes over and looks at the guy, and he's sitting there struggling with this weight, and she talks to him, and it looks like she's kind of admonishing him, and he does the bah and waves her away, and she leaves. But it goes through spring and summer and fall of this old guy just staring at this picture, struggling to get this kettlebell up, and he gets it higher and higher, past his knees, past his waist, up to his chest, and then you see him, you know, he's got the workout clothes and the sweatband, and the neighborhood kids are laughing at him as he's struggling to lift this weight, and you know, just as snow's starting to fall, you can see he can get the weight up over his head, and he lifts it over and over and over again, just intently staring at this picture, and he's just got this scowl on his face the entire time, and you know, you just get the impression that he's planning revenge on somebody somewhere. And the next scene, it has him dressed up in a nice suit, knocking on a door, and it's the young woman that came to admonish him earlier opens the door and lets him in, and everything's decorated for Christmas, and you see this little girl, maybe 8 years old, come up, and she runs up and she gives him a hug, and he walks her in over by the Christmas tree, and he opens up this box, and in it it has the Christmas star, and you see it, you know, grab her by the waist and lift this little girl up high so she can put the star on the Christmas tree. And it just showed, you know, he had a goal. He had something that he wanted to do that he wasn't capable of doing, but he was willing to put in the work, and all he needed was the motivation, that single point to focus on that was going to allow him to go past the limits that he had. For something that, for the little girl, was so simple. She just got picked up, she put the star on the tree. But for the little girl's mom, his daughter, watching her dad do this, understood, you know, what he'd been doing all this time. And so, you know, we're kind of in an industry that's weird. We're bucking the trends. We're doing things that other people don't know how to do, aren't willing to do, because we have a goal that's bigger than what a lot of people can even conceive right now. But as we continue to do the strange things, you know, listening to these calls, the motivational tapes, reading the books, going to the meetings, giving people samples of our drinks or our coffee or, you know, whatever it is, some people may be looking at us, and maybe our nosy neighbor is calling our kids and saying they're doing something again. If we keep working at it, we are going to get better at it. Denzel Washington was recently talking to the press, and they were asking him about all these different things, and he was essentially calling them to be honest. And he says, you know, whatever you do, whatever you practice, you'll get good at. And so let's go out and do those good deeds, those good turns. Let's go out of our way to meet somebody new, to make a new friend, because you never know who needs this, what position they're in, and what they can lead you to. That new neighbor, the scary guy with that tattoos, he's led me to three people who want to join the business, and he himself is loving the products. He just got his new job. He just got his first paycheck. He's so excited that he's going to be able to try and build something new and different that can help him be more healthy. And, you know, he shared it with his family in California, and several of them desperately need something like this. So, never know. So, and make new friends, go out of your way, do the good deeds, accept the help from others that are going to help you. I think we can really, really make a huge difference, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of everyone around us. Make it a little better world. And who knows? Maybe if, you know, a decade from now, they'll be talking about what we did for people's health, like that guy was talking about Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. What if we change everything? So, anyway, that's my call for this morning. If anybody has questions, comments, wants to share anything, you know, if you have questions on the comp plan or how some things are working, feel free to hit *6 and ask your question. We'll go a couple more minutes. All right. Well, I guess thank you for being on the call, everybody, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Go out there and do something amazing. Thanks. Bye.